Well, thank you, Brother Larry.
I just realized I went kind of long. I didn't think it'd be that
Thank
long.
You, Larry. I found your teaching very interesting and good. Thank you.
Thank you. Oops.
Larry, when we were in Job, I found out that God is talking a little bit more about the eagle, which is what you finished talking about. And I'll read just what it says here in verse 27, pretty much some of the things you said. Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place, which
Hallelujah.
Is a good place for the eagle to be. From
yeah.
thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she.
Only Lord. Her eyes see afar off.
Yeah.
You know, when
She's
we're
got
in
a
that
good
place,
vision. She's got vision.
Yes. When we're in that place in the spirit, think about the vision that we have. Think about the discernment that we have. You know, when we're in that high place, you know, nothing is impossible, right? Jesus said, with me, all things are possible. But when we come out of that place, we are basically useless to God.
And of course,
Mark or Larry, could you explain, you in Job, you said there where the slain are. What does that entail?
Well,
where are you? She
eats things that, you know, she kills, and that's her food.
Yes, she eagle is carrion. Will eat dead things, but they prefer live things. You know, they prefer living things. Whereas bird like the raven, they like dead things. We like to be on life, something that's alive. Right?
They will eat carrion, but they prefer taking it alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the interesting thing here in Job 2 is that she dwelleth and abideth on the rock.
Amen.
And we know who Amen. The rock is.
Yeah.
She's got the right place.
Yeah. 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 But again, I think the lesson is God has called us to be eagles, eagle Christians. And as long as we stay in our right place, on the rock, high places, you know, she goes as high as she can to the near the sun, you know. And as we are to dwell there, that's our dwelling place.
You know, I don't know if you ever raised chickens or anything, Larry.
No way. No way. If I want some eggs, I go to the store.
Of course, you know, when there's a barbecue, you know which Oops. One ends up there on the barbecue. It'd be the chicken, of course.
Yeah.
But you know, like you said, they can be very fearful. And, you know, where they had, what was the little story or the poem, The Sky Was Falling?
Chicken Little.
Chicken Little, yeah. A rumor spreads very fast among the chickens.
Yeah.
All they have to hear is some strange noise, and all of a sudden, the whole flock goes into panic. Bark, 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 you know. I mean, the sky is falling.
Yeah.
They never bother to investigate it themselves to see whether it's true. Just the rumor is the sky is falling. Everybody go into a panic.
Yeah. This is why the Lord has called us to know and understand first of the scriptures, and he's given us this amazing organ called the brain. And, you know, it takes effort to use that, you know, and a lot of people are just lazy and don't want to think what God has given us. He's given us everything we need. So there's no reason to be fearful and to run and hide when things come our way. You know, I look today, we're talking about Rita, you know. I mean, you know, what an attitude, you know. You know, would to God that, you know, I or, you know, we could all have that kind of attitude to work our way through today's troubles, you know, and stay in the spirit of God and trust God, you know. It says, again, in Scripture, Psalm 91, he will cover us with his feathers. And other his wings have we come to trust, you know? So would to God that we would always stay in a place where we're covered under his feathers. That is, we're trusting in him for all things.
Could I just make a comment in here? Not a couple weeks ago, but maybe 2 months ago, we prayed for my daughter-in-law. Brian's wife, and she underwent 2 mastectomies. She was 16 hours on the table, and she came out wonderful. You know, they took everything out that they could and said that you know, she needed time to recuperate and everything. And when she came out, even to this day, it amazes me. She never once complained of anything, not once. After everything she went through, the pain, the suffering, the time on the board of the operating table, and to this day, she has such a wonderful presence about her. Never complained once. I never heard her say, oh, it hurts. I'm in pain. I can't take this. Not one thing. And I give God the glory for that, because I know that the Spirit of God is with her and is supplying all her needs. And she's healing wonderful. And with all the scars and the staples in her and stitches and everything else, she looks perfectly normal. And she's had reconstructive surgery at once, and never heard her complain anything. And she is an example that I can follow, because sometimes I get a migraine and it's like, oh, I need a pill. I need this. I need that. I need God is what I need. I need Jesus Christ. And she showed me things through this all. And she was a wonderful inspiration to me. And I thank God for her, because my son, Brian, chose wisely.
Oh, hallelujah. You have chosen wisely.
Amen.
Amen.
So Larry, I just want to thank God.
Praise God. Larry, I just had a comment about your numbering on of the birds. You put the eagle as 12A. I
Yeah.
was just this my suggestion was to put an owl in there for 13, because the owl is to, and the one word would be dark. He seeks his prey in the dark. Feeds in the dark, and that would make the eagle 14.
All right. Yeah, I didn't want the eagle to be 13. I figured that, you know, that's a number of rebellion. Then I started thinking about it. Well, you know, perhaps at times, and I'd say for myself, you know, I've been rebellious, you know. I'm an eagle, but, you know, can also exhibit rebellion at times, you know? So my point was in this whole thing was, you know, you're going to go through, especially some of you younger ones, a lot of you younger ones, are going to get involved with maybe going to other groups or settling in different places. And you're going to encounter a lot of different people that are Christians. They're in the body of Christ. And then some people in church really aren't that say they are. But even so, there's all kinds of people out there. And, you know, just be cautious and learn. But not only look at other people. You know, there I'm thinking about, you know, it says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think, it says that he that is spiritual judges all things. And that word there in the Greek is anakrino. It means that that means to investigate or to discern things. But we're not to judge people. You know, but we watch and see people, you know, judge the fruit, I guess, and especially the word that goes forth, you know, we're to judge that. But the judgment that we should make, it says, judge yourself. So the word should be that. These different birds that I've described, Lord, when was I there, Lord? And you know, and am I displaying this kind of behavior that's unbecoming? And Lord, you show me where my shortcomings are. So that's what we to do, not just judge other brothers and sisters. And if God does reveal something about a brother or sister, you don't have to go running around and doing this, what they call Christian sharing with someone else. Take it to the Lord, and, you know, God will show you how to handle someone else that you're having a problem with in the body of Christ. And it'll be done respectfully, and in the spirit. Amen.
Amen. I would like to bring a comment at this point. Forgive your brother. I want to thank God for the word today. In the church today, preachers don't bring strong words like this anymore, particularly when it borders on characters and conducts. You know, brethren do not have the boldness to say all that God has put in their hearts. But I have to thank God for this group. that our brother was able to bring all, both bad characters and good characters. And my prayer is that none of us, particularly me, should pick and choose. Every word should be placed side by side with my own conduct, and learn from it, and where there needs to be improvement, to ask God for a touch. So today's word is rare in the body of Christ. Today's word is rare. The preachers do not bring words like people talk too much. They say, no, that will drive away tight pairs. That will pitch people against me. But it is the word of God. Because it is the word of God, the whole of it must be brought. And today, our brother did that. So let us, you know, have it in mind that the word of God does not give chance to pick and choose. And every word that comes as we gather is inspired by God, is from his very throne. So we must take all. And today, God gave strength, and our brother was able to talk about our characters. And I believe, as we begin to place ourselves side by side with every character trait, God is going to do something in our lives. So I want to thank our brother for this boldness, you know, that if God puts in his heart to bring forth further characters, let him bring forth. Let none of us think that he is talking about any one of us particularly, because that is what some do. And that, you know, spells or talks about immaturity. But I thank God that even in the responses, there is nothing like that in our midst. So I want to thank Brother Laurie. Thank you very much, our brother. It is a good one. God bless you. And God bless the brethren. Amen.
Thank you for your kind words. I appreciate it. God bless you too.
Thank you.
And your whole household.
Thank you. You too.
Amen.
You know, Brother Larry, I too appreciate the word that you shared this morning. And the thing that comes to mind is that it's very much within the nature of man to pick at others and to tear down. And there's all these natures that run through humanity and run through the church. And I'm encouraged to understand some of these things a little more. You know, you bring them up and it causes you to think about them. And I think that, you know, what the Lord would have us to do, besides having this knowledge, is to do something with it. And that is to begin to pray against these various natures in fellow believers, because God loves all of his creation, and the whole earth is groaning for the coming forth of the sons of God and for the redemption.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And so I believe, you know, that God would have us to recognize that we have been allowed to be in a position whereby we can have understanding, in order that we might use that understanding for bringing deliverance to our fellow believers. Because every one of us started out in a place where we were of a weaker nature, and of a position that needed prayer and supplication on our behalf. As you were sharing, you know, I have this, I know that I've been this or that, you know, in my Christian walk. And I think that each one of us, if we were honest, we could say, yes, I have had this or that. And also we could look and say, yes, I have this or that. And so, you know, it would be good for us to meditate on these things so that we don't just let this word pass by, you know, but that we let it be, you know, as something that we can chew on, the chewing of the cud, as it were, in order that it, not only in the mastication of the word would it do something to bring deliverance to others, but first and foremost, that it would do something to bring deliverance to each one of us. So praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, Paul, it's interesting that you said use the word the way we were originally as our weaker nature. That's kind of merciful. You know, I would describe myself like Paul said that, you know, in times past, you know, it was worse than just a weak nature. It was detestable. It was no good, dirty scoundrel until the Lord got a hold of me. And I think that may be the case with many of us, that it wasn't, I mean, yeah, sure, we were weak, but we were worse than that, really. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking more, Larry, about you know, when each one of us came into the church.
Yeah.
You know, we've all had some long journeys, probably through many different levels of the church. We come through the outer court with all of its shortcomings, and as we progress in the things of the kingdom, we have to go through, you know, the not only the dying to self, and we know that there's churches that just stop right there. They just stop at dying to self. And then there's other churches that stop at just water baptism. And then there's other churches that stop at Pentecost, you know, with baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they never come into Christ. And so we're in the process of going into Christ and being baptized into him, into all of his fullness. And along the way, we need to be redemptive to those that are around about, to encourage them also to be able to come in. Because I didn't come in to the message of sonship right off. You know, I came into salvation through a Baptist, or it was either a Baptist or a Methodist ministry. I don't even know. You know, it was who it was. But I know that I heard a salvation message and was encouraged along the way to examine myself and so on. And so, you know, that's part of the progress that we have. You know, when Jesus said, go forth and make disciples of men, well, disciples are individuals that are learning along the way to lay down their lives more and more, and to come into a higher place in God. You know, it's like, well, you talk about the eagles. They're in a high place. Their babies are in a high place, but the baby is in the nest and doesn't have, you know, the fullness of strength. Or the ability to even dwell on their own, you know, mom has to come around to feed the meat, so on and so forth. And then at some point, mom says, okay, now you're ready to begin to move into the position of being responsible as a you know, an eagle, and shoves you out of the nest. But even in the shoving you out of the nest, she flies down underneath and catches the little ones, you know, until they finally come into that maturity where they're able to, you know, fly for themselves. So, you know, we have that same responsibility, you know, and I'm encouraged this morning. The pricking of the Holy Spirit on my heart was, what would I do with this word? You know, what do I need to do? I need to say, God, touch the cuckoo. God, touch this finch. God, touch the canary. God, touch the ostrich.
Amen.
Move.
Amen.
Move.
Hallelujah.
Touch the raven. You know, bring them into a place of cleanness. You know, move God upon the peacock, God, so that they can too experience the life in Christ that you've ordained for each one to have. You know that there were a lot of Pharisees that made it in to the church in the early church. You know, so there's hope, and there's resurrection life that God has. So, amen. Praise
amen.
The Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Larry, getting back to the birds, or brethren, getting back to the birds, I'm thinking about the parrot. I've never had a parrot, but I know that parrots can be taught to say things. Yeah. And a parrot can be taught to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And it has no idea what it means. And I just, you know, relating this to the church, there's people that have learned to say things and have no idea what it really means, because they've never experienced it themselves, but they're taking what somebody else learned and speaking it. And you know, that was one of the first lessons that the Lord taught me when I began to teach the word. I get on some good subject and I say, oh, this is a pretty good thing to, I'm gonna bring this next Sunday. And you know, if I had not experienced the thing that I was talking about, within the following week, I was going to have to eat that. And I was going to have to know, because God will not allow us, what does he talk about? Idle words. Every idle word. And an idle word is basically a thing that we say that we really don't understand what we're saying. Be careful. Another thing I'm thinking about is this obnoxious behavior of some of these birds. And I'm wondering how much of this behavior, and we're talking about in the natural realm of birds now, how much of this behavior is a result of the curse that is upon the earth? Compared to what was their behavior back in the days of the Garden of Eden? You know, I cannot believe that lions were eating lambs back there in the garden.
No.
And we have, I forget which the prophet is it Isaiah or is it Jeremiah? The lion will lay down with the lamb. And we're talking about a time when
Isaiah.
The curse, what is it?
Isaiah, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. A time when the curse is going to be removed. And it's going to be amazing to see how much, even among nature, you know, creation is groaning. The things that the obnoxious things that some of these animals are doing is creation groaning. It's not supposed to be this way. And it's going to have to change. And, you know, if we're going to proclaim the kingdom of God, we might as well be changing in our lives as well.
Yeah.
Mike, you've been awful quiet. You've been a farmer. Surely you know something about these birds.
Yeah, I've got a couple of comments to make on a couple of the birds. First, I wanted to say, Larry, I always really appreciate hearing you. And the first thing that came to my mind today, which is a little funny way, I guess, but I read this book one time, and it was written by this Indian guy. He had some name like Mugugapi Pony Boy or something. Anyway, he knew horses inside and out. And one of the things that he said was, you know, when you see a herd of wild horses, there's always one horse that's the leader. Mm. He's the one that's always looking out, and he's the one that knows when, okay, it's time to run and which direction to run and all that. And all the other horses are constantly, what you might say, picking on this lead horse. And the reason for it is interesting. It's because they want to make sure that this lead horse is qualified to lead them. It's not that they're getting down on him for things. It's that they want to make sure the right guy's there to do the right thing at the right time, you know, which changes the whole scenario. And what I thought of next was, and don't jump to any conclusion until you hear all this. There was a couple of times, Larry, when you quoted a scripture and said, like, Isaiah, whatever, and then you said kind of sternly, don't turn there. And the thought that came to me was, you know, you could have kind of nice and politely said, you don't need to turn there. And the thought that came to me was, because I know your heart, Larry, you don't have to waste your time being politically correct or real polite. When you say, don't turn there, I knew that's okay, you know. And the thought came to me, how important it is to know someone for who they are. You know, when I think Paul one time said, follow me. And then after that, he said, as I follow Jesus. Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wouldn't even have had to say that second part. He could have just said, you know, a lot of people, if he would have said, follow me, a lot of people think, who's this guy think he is? But when you know him, he wouldn't even have had to say that second part. He could have just said, follow me, and you'd know what he meant, you know. And I'm thinking that's how important it is that we know God. Because, you know, when things are looking bad for us and going wrong, we know God, we know his character, we know he loves us, we know he wants the best for us. And so it changes the whole thing for us. You know, it's kind of like, if I heard one time, if somebody said to me, hey, did you hear Mark Yancey just robbed a bank and shot three guys? I'd say, well, that ain't the Mark Yancey I know then, you know. So anyway, that was one thing that stuck out to me, is just we really need to know God for who that he is. And Larry, I kind of see you as a Peter. Anyway, I got a comment to make on two of the birds. The cuckoo bird. Mark mentioned that they won't raise their own young. And what came to my mind was the scripture of when the people said to Moses, you go up that mountain and you listen to God, and then you come back and tell us and we'll do whatever you say. You know, there's a lot of Christians that way. They want somebody else to do all the work, you know, instead of really knowing God for themselves and really, you know, changing their own characters, you know. And then also, I wanted to comment on the vulture. You know, I've noticed something that you can tell more about a bird by what he won't eat than you can by what he will eat. You know, a clean bird only eats clean food, but a unclean bird, well, they'll eat clean food too, but they'll also eat dirty food. And so we can tell more about a Christian by what he won't eat than what he does eat, because a real Christian won't eat bad food. So anyway, that's just a couple comments I had on a couple of the birds. That's it. Amen.
Great. Thank you, Mike, for those kind words. I appreciate you saying I'm like Peter. I understand that means, you know what that means, that I always open up my big mouth when I should keep quiet. But that's who I am, you know.
The part that I thought of was that maybe you're a little rough sometimes, but your heart is so good, just like Peter. And just think of some of the things Peter did. He was the one that walked on the water. He was the one that, you know, he went out there and got after things, you know, and that's really a good quality.
Yeah, as long as he could walk on it. But then again, I, like Peter, start looking down at the rough sea and, you know, take my eyes off the Lord. So, again, just like Peter, I get you. The Lord says, what's required of you, O man? To love mercy, do righteously, and walk humbly before the Lord. So, you know, when you're talking about elevating me to Peter, I always go back and walk humbly before the Lord, because I'm not going to be knocked down like that. You know what I mean? I'll stay down in the low place, and it's better that way. Hallelujah. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Yes. You know what? Thank you all for the kind words. You know, the thing is that, you know, I don't, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, you know, I have said this before, and I, you know, to other people, but I'll share it with you. I don't know why the Lord chose me to be a teacher, you know, because Mark will tell you, you know, that my grammar is bad. I don't speak well. I don't know the English language very well. You can even tell how I stumble over words, and I, you know, I don't even know how to say words, you know? And yet, you know, I guess that's the way God is, you know? He uses the weak to confound the wise, I guess, you know? But that's just, you know, again, that's the way I see things. I just am amazed that who God chooses, you know? I actually, my background is in math science. You know, I'm a chemist by trade, I would say, many years ago. You talk about going back 50 years. You know, I've forgotten so much chemistry. You know, I can't even remember the elements anymore. But English was my poorest subject throughout my, you know, educational process. I didn't like English at all. Would to God that I could go back, you know, to those days of, you know, elementary and high school, and study English, you know, how much more profitable would it have been for me than crazy science and math? But at that time, it didn't seem worthwhile. But, you know, it is what it is, and we just go.